U.S. policymakers have discovered that terrorists who destabilize African countries pay for their rebellions with the profits from selling the tusks of dead elephants. Under the Eiffel Tower in Paris, the French government destroyed 3 tons of ivory before TV cameras. The United States pulled 6 tons from a warehouse and publicly crushed them for photographers at a national wildlife refuge in Colorado. And China crushed 6 tons of ivory tusks in Guangdong province and incinerated another 28 tons in Hong Kong. These destroyed elephant tusks were confiscated by governments from shipments smuggled in shipping containers from Africa, the harvest of the slaughter of Africa's dwindling population of elephants. The heavily publicized destruction of the tusks was a message from many governments to consumers to stop buying carved ivory and the potions made from the ground horns of rhinos. The killing of Africa's elephants is a long-standing concern of wildlife conservationists. They are now joined by leaders in global law enforcement, economic development, and better governance, argues John Calvelli, an executive vice president of the Wildlife Conservation Society in New York.
This is just, we're reaching an epidemic proportion that's having long-term implications for the survival of the species, but also creating real areas of uncertainty and destabilization. So at the end of the day, the report that came out, all these reports are all pointing to that same direction, that there's a call for action coming from the African nations themselves. We need to be dealing with this issue. They can only go so far. It's the responsibility of consumer nations and transit nations to play a more active role and to realize that we are part of the problem, and we also then have to be part of the solution.
Brooke Darby, the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement, says poaching is no longer viewed as just a wildlife conservation issue. Washington's decision to get tough on poachers and traffickers is triggered by the rapid growth of an illegal industry some estimate is now a $19 billion business.
The U.S. government and many other governments around the world have been looking at wildlife trafficking as a conservation issue for a long period of time. But I think in the last few years, driven by the high demand and the high prices for wildlife products, as well as the low risk of detection and very minimal penalties, we've really seen an uptick in organized criminal groups and, to some extent, terrorist networks being drawn into the trade.
Major criminal syndicates have added ivory to their portfolio of illegal trafficking in gold, guns, and drugs. Poaching is fast becoming a serious crime. In the natural resources of Africa, that's an estimated 30,000 elephants slaughtered illegally in 2012, double the number killed 5 years before, and triple the estimates of 14 years ago. The United States was the first country to sign the 1974 Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, or CITES, outlawing the trade. But nothing stemmed the tide in poaching and trading of ivory tusks and rhino horns. 8 months ago, President Barack Obama signed an executive order creating a wildlife trafficking task force. The order authorized $10 million worth of technical assistance to stop poaching in Kenya, South Africa, and other countries in sub-Saharan Africa. New funds and new enforcement ideas are mentioned in the executive order. Even drones, once used strictly for the assassination of leaders of Al-Qaeda in Yemen, are being proposed as aerial monitors of herds of forest elephants, locating carcasses, trafficking poachers and traders. John Calvelli of the Wildlife Conservation Society does not think the use of drones is a far-fetched idea.
I think we have to look at all technologies to try to solve this problem. The problem is bigger than just the usual approaches that we've taken in the past. So we need to be looking at all different technologies, and drones is obviously one of those technologies that needs to be reviewed. Right now, you do have the use of planes. Could drones play that role? I think it has to be explored.
In April, representatives of 46 countries gathered at the London Zoological Garden and signed a declaration to stop the illegal trade. 2 months ago, President Obama issued a national strategy declaring that wildlife trafficking now threatens not only national and global wildlife resources, but also national and global security. Darby said what she calls some terrorist entities are involved. Many conservation organizations agree. Conservationist and development agencies have been struggling with poaching for years, writes Johan Bergenus in a recent Stimson Center report, Killing Animals, Buying Arms. The Stimson study targets East Africa and Tsavo National Park's Nguliya Rhino Sanctuary in Kenya. Bergenus observes how international interests are planning the demise of poaching.
And as the issue of poaching and wildlife crime become part of the family, if you will, of transnational crime challenges in the region, I think we can all benefit from looking at it from a security and defense perspective. And for the conservation and development community and the defense and security community to find overlapping opportunities to initiate programs on the ground and at the policy level to leverage each other's resources.
The President's task force pulls together leaders in the Departments of Justice, Interior, and State to decide the next steps. But Bergenus cautions that for many countries, truly effective cooperation will take a long time. The U.S. contribution to anti-poaching is part of an overall $80 million global commitment strategy marshaled by the Global Clinton Initiative, or GCI. It follows a three-pronged strategy: support Africa's park rangers, stop the trafficking, and tell consumers to stop buying ivory statues and jewelry. They have gathered $80 million in commitments from governments, foundations, and others such as philanthropist Howard Buffett. Calvelli gives Hillary Clinton credit for asking the Director of National Intelligence to determine if there was a crucial link between poaching and terrorism. The DNI affirmed that terrorist entities and rogue security personnel are poaching elephants and trading their ivory, often in collusion with government officials in source countries. The poachers and traffickers perpetuate corruption and border insecurity in key Eastern, Central, and Southern African states. But Calvelli says African leaders from Botswana, Ivory Coast, Gabon, Kenya, South Sudan, Malawi, and Uganda really got the ball rolling.
It's pretty historic in one respect that so many groups have come together in such a short amount of time to deal with this issue. And that, I think, on one level is very, very exciting. But was also, I think, the impetus was the call coming from Africa. And in our conversations with African leaders and Secretary Clinton's conversations with African leaders, you started to see that this is not just an issue that needed to be dealt with here in the United States. The call is really coming from the African leaders themselves. They were seeing the destruction of their natural heritage.
This flurry of new activity could be the beginning of more effective enforcement against the international ivory and rhino horn trade, but some observers are concerned that the new collaborative strategies will take too much time to implement. They fear that elephants and rhinos in the wild may not be able to wait that long. I'm William Eagle in Washington.